the expense of
for that introduction to the grace of God. I want to ask you a question this morning. This is your exam. What is on God's heart today? Now let me ask you a second question. What is on your heart today? Is the same thing that's on God's heart the thing that's most on your heart? Are you consumed by exams and groceries and work and friends and studies? What is on God's heart today? I was saved as a young boy in a rescue mission in Fort Worth, Texas. The next morning, I came into my dad and I said, "Dad, when am I going to get baptized?" And to test me, he said, "Why should you be baptized?" I said, "Well, I saved last night. Didn't you know it?" And then everywhere he went that day, I beat him. And the next door neighbor, Miss Boyd, said, "Well, Brother Willis, I'm glad your son Avery was saved." I said, "How'd you know?" "Oh, he's over here this morning telling me about it." Later he was over at Denny Moore's barbershop, and then he said, "Well, Willis, good to know that Avery trusted Christ last night." I said, "How'd you know?" I said, "Oh, well, he was over here telling me about it this morning." Later he saw Dr. Scarborough, who was president of the seminary, and he said, "Well, I'm sure glad to know, Willis, that that your son trusted Jesus." I said, "How'd you know?" I said, "Oh, he was over here telling me about it this morning." Everywhere he went that day, I beat him. Because once you've experienced the grace of God, you want to tell people about that. And I got me a Bible, you know, 6 or 7 years old. I only knew John 3:16, but I knew you had to have a Bible to preach. So I got me a Bible, and whether it was upside down or not, I quoted John 3:16. Now, I would preach out on the back fence there at 1717 Boyce Street, or to my grandmother, or anybody I could get to listen to me. I don't remember the sermon, like most folks don't remember my sermons. But I do remember the title. The title was Christ for the Whole Wide World. You know, a 6-year-old boy who knows John 3:16 knows what's on the heart of God. That's the whole wide world. He intends to reach the whole world for himself. What is the Bible all about? Well, certainly seminary students ought to know that. What is the Bible all about? I'm sure each of your professors can tell you what the Bible is all about. It's about their subject. Whatever they're teaching, that is what the Bible is all about. But if you really get down to the heart of it, they will admit, this is not a book about law, it's not just a book about theology, it's not a book about people, it is a book about God. And God, in the book, shows through the lives of people himself. Some lives are long, like Joseph's, cover several chapters, some may be just a part of a verse. The important thing, it's where God interacts and intersects with the lives of those people that he can use as a revelation to show himself to you. The purpose of this book, then, is that he would reveal himself to mankind. That is his goal. That is his purpose. Some of us say, well, maybe the Great Commission is what's on God's mind. But so many of us treat the Great Commission as a postscript. After the resurrection. Oh, by the way, Jesus says, before I leave, I need to tell you, you need to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The Great Commission is not a postscript. It is the heart of the whole Word of God. It is the purpose of God. Now, I'm not preaching today just to those who are going to be missionaries, because I believe this is the message that every one of us as children of God need to hear. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, we get the first edition of the Great Commission, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, where we see God coming to Abraham. And now the Lord said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them, him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Bob Shogren, in his book, The Unveiled at Last, calls this the top line and the bottom line. The top line is blessing. God comes to you in blessing. God comes to you in salvation in blessing. God loves to bless. He loves to create. He loves to bless. He loves to redeem. He wants to bless you. And he wanted to bless Abraham. He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless all those that are around you. That's the top line blessing. But the bottom line responsibility is, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed through you. You see, the bottom line responsibility is that God did not love Abraham just so Abraham could be blessed. But God loved and blessed Abraham so he could bless all the families or the peoples of the earth. It is God's purpose then that he be glorified. Now he said, I'm going to get you a name, Abram. And today we quote it. In fact, he began to be known as the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, because here were three men who heard the promise of God for blessing, accepted the bottom line responsibility of who they were to be and what they were to do, so that God came to be known as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But the purpose of God is to get himself a name. All through the Bible, he's making himself a name. When God was ready to destroy Israel, Moses prayed, Lord, what about your name? Because if the enemies see you've wiped out all of these children of Israel, then your name will be hurt before the nations of the world. And Moses knew the secret of how to pray, because he knew what was close to the heart of God. God wants us to know him and to love him and to glorify him. The Westminster Catechism says that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. What is the chief end of God? John Piper asked in his book. It is to glorify God. He said, well, that's kind of not fair. God wants to be glorified, but he won't let us glorify ourselves. Isn't he kind of selfish? Well, now let me ask you, who do you suppose he would recommend you ought to glorify? There's no one else like him. He is God. He is the only one worthy of glory. And what he wants on this earth and through men is to be known by all the peoples of the earth, and that all the peoples of the earth will come and glorify and honor and praise him and worship him, just like we've done in this service here. But today there are 2,161 people groups who basically have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. They don't know God. They may be searching out there. He may have revealed something like he did to this young girl, but he don't have enough knowledge of the Son of God to trust him as Savior and Lord. And therefore, they're outside of the amazing grace of God. God gets glory from the more diverse peoples who praise him. Now, a person can be elected by his friends to an office in a club. If he can be elected by his neighborhood, which has different people in it, he would get more glory. If he could be elected by his whole country with people of all kinds of backgrounds, he gets more glory. The more people and the more kinds of people that come to glorify the Lord, the more glory accrues to his name. We then are to bring glory to God. What is on God's heart today? Today, there's a family in Afghanistan who loves God, who wants God's name to be glorified. What else would cause a family to go to Afghanistan, where war is going on, where the Taliban are trying to put into effect the extremist Islamic way of living? I had him tell me about a relief effort that they were involved in. A soldier came one day to his door, had all of his guns, had all of his bandoliers of bullets and so forth, and said, I want you to come to our village and do that, to help us in this relief effort. And our friend was very bold. He said, you can't come in this house with those guns on. If you want to come back here and talk to me, then you come back without your guns. So the guy walked off. and came back. When he came back, he said, well, I let him cool his heels for about 10 or 15 minutes in there in the waiting room. And when he came in, this soldier or this person, whether it shows a soldier or bandit or rebel, I won't try to say, said he'd been reading the book that had been laying there, and Afghans love poetry. He said, where did you get this book? This is some of the most beautiful poetry I have ever read. It was Psalms. And he began to talk to him, and they became friends. And then he said, would you come up to my area and look this over and see if anything could be done? And so he went up there, and while he was there talking with them, someone came in and said to him, you got to help this old man out here who stepped on a landmine. A shepherd has stepped on a landmine. He's in very serious condition. You have to help. He said, I knew I shouldn't help. I mean, everybody else should help, but I didn't really think that was what I ought to be doing. But somehow God said in my heart, you go help the old man. So he said, we went out to the field of landmines, and as I walked out to the old shepherd, I noticed everybody was walking in single file behind me. They were able to get the old man. They took him out to the road. A truck came by filled with people, and he said, take this old man to the hospital. Nobody would give up his place. And so our friend said to his interpreter, or friend, you tell him I will pay double what anybody paid to get on that truck for this old man to go to the hospital. And he went and told the driver, the Muslim says, well, what do you mean? This Christian over here is willing to pay double for what somebody paid. So this old man, they said, we'll not let him do that. The old man can get on. We'll make sure we get him a place. But the story has gone around about the modern Good Samaritan. But what would cause somebody to live in that kind of condition? The glory of God. That's what drives us to the uttermost parts, to the last frontier, to the people who've never heard that by the grace of God, he would break through to people who would never hear. This last Christmas, he had 150 men come to his house, 150 women at another time, 150 men, and he got the mullah, the Islamic teacher, to read the Sermon on the Mount and comment on it. And as he commented on it, he said, well, this is different. This is not like Islam. But he kept on going. But he's building relationships. Why? Because you see, the bottom line responsibility goes with the top line blessing. What you said, Dr. Patterson, is correct. About 95% of the folks that come out of seminaries like this stay in the United States. Now, that's not a reason for you to go. That's just to point out the fact that God intends all of us to be a people. What he was doing with Abraham was starting a people called Israel. He said they were very special. Sometimes you might think that that specialness meant that they were better than anybody in the world, but he makes it very clear they weren't. They were a wandering Armenians. They were nothing. They were picked up, why? Because God wanted to bless them to bless others. In fact, in Exodus, the 19th chapter, he says to Moses in verses 4 through 5, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now you might say, where was he bringing them? To the promised land. No, he was bringing them to himself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now, he clearly states they're peculiar, they're special, that God took one family. But you have to read verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, or a holy people. The problem with the Israelites is they thought God loved them better than anybody else. They were his teacher's pet, the golden-haired ones that he loved for some reason more than he loved anyone else. But you see, God loves all the peoples of the earth, and he loves them equally. sometimes we Americans have been just like the Israelites. We thought God loved us better than he loved anybody else. But just like with them, he blesses us so we can bless the nations. It is the purpose and the plan of God for the nations to be blessed. Now, I don't have time to go all the through the Bible, but I want to give you two or three passages that will help you just see, spot through here, the purpose of God. For instance, in 1 Chronicles, King David, who was the king of the first king of the line called the line of David. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8 says, David knew what it was all about. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Verse 24, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. Verse 28, give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Verse 31, let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. David knew he was to reign over all peoples of the world. He said it again in Psalm 67. It's a brief psalm, but so filled with meaning. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Now, what is that? Top line blessing or bottom line responsibility? Top line or bottom line? Top line. That thy way may be known upon the earth and thy saving health among all nations. Top line or bottom line? Bottom line. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. It is the purpose and the plan of God to bless the nations of the world. A lawyer came to Jesus and said, what's the greatest commandment? You remember what he said. And he said, you'll love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now that's the top line. And you'll love your neighbor as yourself, to bless your neighbor, the bottom line. Bruce Smith, some of you know, was privileged to work among the Maasai people, that God has greatly brought a whole people's movement to himself in this decade. Some say that may be the first Baptist people movement. Our whole tribe would come Baptist. But then he said, you know, I need to move further out. I need to go to the Karamojong, who are next door in Uganda. Much like these people, different language, the difference in them. The Maasai use spears, the Karamojong use AK-47s. And he went up to talk with them and said, I want to live among you. I want to buy some land. They said, why would you want to live among us? Everybody hates us. We steal their cattle. We rape their women. We kill them. Why would anybody want to live among us? He said two reasons, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. He explained the Great Commission, and then he says the Great Commandment is love your neighbors yourself. I want to be your neighbor. They were so overwhelmed, they gave him 30 acres. And if you'll read this month's commission, you will see that they're building his house. He's been living in a tent or a hut there for several months with his family. And these men came back with their AK-47s because they had made a deal to break some huge boulders into little gravel so they could build a house. And now they wanted a better deal. And he said, let me tell you, men, why I'm here. And he took the 40 men over under a shade tree and explained to them why he was there, the Great Commission. And they said, we want that. He said, all 40 of them. He said, you don't understand. And he told them again, and they said, we want that. That's what we want. We've had all the other. We want God. Now, what drives that? The purpose of God to bless you is that you will bless others. That is not just only the people who will go overseas and get the privilege of doing that. That is a whole people of God. God didn't just call Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He called a people to be used for himself. He made a covenant with them that he would bless them. He elected them that they should be a whole kingdom of priests. They should be a holy nation. And God has basically done that same thing with us. We could trace it through America. Why in the world would God ever allow what happened in this land and give this to a people who said, we want to honor you and serve you and worship you? Now, we've, of course, taken the top line blessing and forgotten the bottom line responsibility. Southern Baptist were not a people. We were poor farmers, frontiersmen, didn't have a name, refugees, as it were, in this land. And God has taken us and he has blessed us. Why has he blessed us like he has blessed us? That we'll take the bottom line responsibility. God is looking for a people who will be what he wants them to be, a holy nation, and one who will be a kingdom of priests to all the peoples of the earth. But what have we concentrated on? The top line blessing. When you got your annual in high school or college, what did you look for first? Well, your picture, right? How many times was it there? That's somewhat like we look at the Bible. We go looking for ourselves in the Bible. And God speaks to us that way. But folks, you've got to get past that to know why he speaks to you. If you want to get on God's agenda, you have to know he always is on his way to the world when he comes to you. When he says Abram, he's on his way to the world. When he calls your name, he's on his way to the world. He desires that all the peoples of the world shall know him, and yet we've got about 30% of this world that has not heard of him. When Jesus came in Luke, the 24th chapter, in what we call one version of the Great Commission, and he begins to tell them about all the scriptures that would prove who he was, he tells them that story. And then if you'll look in verse 24, Luke 24, it's in 40. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and he said, thus it is written, and thus it behooveth Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. That's, we take that top line blessing. But the rest of it says, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Even in the Great Commission interpretation, he's saying, I did this for your blessing, but it is for all nations. And we take Acts 1:8, which he's saying you're going to begin at Jerusalem, and we distort that according to our own desires, where he says that you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And we say, Jerusalem is home. No, it wasn't. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the disciples. Did any of them live in Jerusalem? Jesus never spent a night in Jerusalem. They were to stay there because that's where all these nations were going to be coming for the Passover, and they needed to tell the gospel to them. He was out for the nations, and the Pentecost experience was to show that he is for all the people. And how do I know what the Lord talked about? I've always wanted to hear that sermon that he talked about, telling all the scriptures that told of him. But he started Genesis 12:3, I believe. Because when you look in the scriptures in Acts 3, you never have heard any of the disciples talk about that until you hear Peter standing up and preaching. And he picks up on Acts 3:25, where he says, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Well, that's the one on David. That's two. I need three. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thee, in thy seed, shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Again, I won't read it, Galatians 3:8, Hebrews 6:13 through 17, Genesis 12:1 through 3 is mentioned again as they begin to realize the whole purpose of God from beginning to end has been that all the peoples of the earth should live and glorify our Lord. Someone has looked in the songs and says 95% of our songs are top-line blessing, 5% responsibility. Someone looked in the bookstore and said 85% of the books are about the top-line blessing. Go there and see what it says about how to do this, how to be successful, all of the things that we have even in our Christian bookstores. 98% of our sermons, another has estimated, are about the top-line blessing. Certainly our giving is about the top-line blessing. If you don't believe it, look at what we give as Americans to Christ or to church, not even to missions. The average American gives 2 to 3%. So they keep 97% and give away 2 or 3. We come to our local churches, we keep about 92%. We send 8% to the cooperative program. We come to our states keep 2/3% and they send a third to the SBC. And we got the SBC, we keep 50%, send half 50% to the Foreign Mission Board. Now, I'm not knocking that, brother. I live on that. Everything we do is based on that. But I'm saying we have got to understand that our responsibility is not just a nickel and dime and give the leftovers to God. We must understand His purpose is to reach every nation. And that must become our consuming desire. It must become the desire of every person. Oh God, if you don't let me go over there, help me to tell the nations that are here. Help me to do whatever I can to bring the peoples of this nation, of this world, to know you. Now, we know it's going to happen. It's very clear. In Revelation, the 5th chapter, it's very clear. It's all going to happen because God is sovereign. The question is, will we be like Israel and be left behind because we only wanted our blessings for ourselves? Or will we be the people that God wants us to be? Revelation's the 5th chapter. And he said, I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, the midst of the elders, there stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, the seven spirits of God sent forth. And he goes on and tells, and he said, that they all fell down before him, and they sang a new song. And they said, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. God is going to do what is on His heart. He is going to bring all the peoples of the earth, including this approximately 2,000 people groups that don't know Him. He's going to bring representatives from every one of them to be around the throne. The question is, can we take the bottom line responsibility and be the people that God wanted us to be? Or will we take the blessings that He's given them and use them on ourselves? Let's pray. Somehow, Lord, break through our selfish ways in which we pray so much for ourselves and for our families, for our country, and for our nation, and forget that you want all the nations of the world, all the peoples of the world, to come and honor and glory and worship you. Help us, Lord, to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, to take your gospel throughout the whole world till the last person has a chance to respond. In Christ's name.